I want to use this very unique opportunity to speak into your world, to get you thinking. You're clever, intelligent people, and I know you can process stuff really, really well. And your life's important, and you need to know your life is important to God. And so as we cross over, and this is a unique time, isn't it? December the 31st, what a unique time to be alive, you know, crossing over from one year into the next year. But it gives us an opportunity both to reflect and to plan. And it's a real good opportunity. And it's my privilege to get a moment in your world to speak into that, to help you process it well. You know, I wonder, 2023, has it been a good year for you? I'm sure everyone listening right now will have had highs and lows. You'd have had great bits and poor bits. You'd have had celebration and pain and everything in between. But my hope is that you've seen God's hand in it all. My hope is that you've experienced more than ever the love of God in it all. Maybe in those really difficult moments, you've sensed his closeness. You've sensed his compassion. You've sensed his healing. But also in those celebration moments, the moments of victory, the moments where you feel like, yes, life is so good. You've sensed the Father celebrating over you like a father celebrates over his children. You've reflected on the fact that his timing was actually perfect and his provision was there at the right time. You just know, you know, you know. God was in those moments through your calendar year. And my hope in it all is that thankfulness and gratitude would become your average language. Thank you, Lord, that you were in it all. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you demonstrated your love for me in Jesus. And I want to make sure that on average, my response to any situation is gratitude, that I know my Father is with me. I hope you're in on that. It's often this time of year a time for reflection and planning. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't go through the same process maybe you do every year, because this is the truth. You aren't the same person today as you were a year ago. We all move, we all grow, we all change, we all experience stuff, we all gain wisdom. So you're not the same person today you were a year ago. You know, maybe you're someone who's wrestled this year and come to a place where you've forgiven someone who's hurt you. And can I say, well done you, if that's you. Because forgiveness is brave. You may have been really hurt. It may not have been fair. The situation may not have played out in your favor. And it's been difficult. But when you come to the point of saying, I'm letting it go, it benefits you. Because you let yourself, you get yourself free from the hurt of the past so that you can see the future without that cloud. And that's a good thing. So maybe you're positioned better right now than you were a year ago because of forgiveness. Well done. That is amazing. It's tough. I know, but well done you. Maybe this calendar year you've developed a new skill. Maybe you've studied and got new knowledge. And that new skill has positioned you with different open doors for the year ahead. That new knowledge you've acquired, that new certificate you've gained, has positioned you differently from last year so that you can look into the new year from a new starting point. Can you see what I'm trying to say? You're not the same person today you were a year ago, so you can look into the new year differently. Maybe. And this is a great hope of mine as a church leader. Maybe you have disciplined yourself this year to create great rhythms in getting closer to God. Maybe you've created a new prayer rhythm, a new praise rhythm, a new study rhythm, a new quiet time rhythm. I don't know what it looks like for you, but my hope always is you'll create great rhythm, because then you get to hear the Father's heartbeat. Then you start to see your life as he sees your life. And then you can look into 2024 full of faith. You can look into 2024 knowing the heartbeat of the Father for you, because you develop this new discipline. And there'll be many, many other things that have caused you to change and be different right now. But there's just a few to think about. And my hope in the end is that we can look into 2024 with God-given perspective. You know, fueled with faith, with hope in our heart, but a fresh determination to back that hope. It's not just hope in nothing. It's that I am determined to play my part, and I know what I can't do, God will do, but I'm going to play my part. So I encourage you, 2024 is going to be a good year. It's yours for the taking, and Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, is with you. I hope you're encouraged. My title for today's message is Goodbye and Hello. goodbye and hello. We're thinking of crossing over, you know, going over into 2024 at midnight this evening. And the obvious Bible story is with Moses. You know, he crossed over the Red Sea with the Israelite people. The backstory is that the Israelite people had been in captivity for hundreds of years, and they were struggling, and it was difficult, and life was tough, and it wasn't fair. And God raised up Moses to go and challenge Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And they saw amazing miracles. All these plagues. You know, they had a plague of toads. Imagine it. Waking up in your bed covered in toads. Going for the shower. Toads. Into your front room. Toads. Going out to work. Toads everywhere. Can you imagine that? That was a move of God. And then there was the lice. Itching and scratching everywhere. Lice everywhere you go. There was a plague of locusts. There was a plague of boils. People waking up covered in sores and itching. Difficult moments, but it was so powerful that the most stubborn iron-willed man on the planet, Pharaoh, had to relent. In the end, he said, "Just let them go." And the Israelite people left that place cheering, saying, "We saw the hand of God work. We saw the way he moved the immovable object, the will of Pharaoh. He moved it. It was difficult, but we saw heaven on earth, and now we are free." But then they go on this journey and they come to this obstacle, the Red Sea. There's no way past it. And there they are, having experienced all these miracles. And there they are. They can see their future. It's just the other side of the sea. They can see their freedom. They can see good things happen. They can see security. They can dream again. But they're stuck. It's just the other side of that. But it gets worse. Pharaoh changes his mind. And the Egyptian army are chasing them down. So there they are, just touching distance from their future. But as they look over their shoulder, they can see the old familiar life chasing them down. They can see the old familiar that was hurting them and wounding them, chasing them down. And there's a moment in time where they had to choose. I want to suggest tonight is a moment in time where you're going to choose. They could choose to go back to the old familiar. They could have said, "We made a run for it. We tried to get pushed past our old familiar, but here it is coming for me again. I might as well just stick to what I know." And they sink back into actually things that were harming their life, hurting their life, chaining their life, going through the motions. Yes, they were fed. Yes, they were housed, but it wasn't much more. It was difficult. And they could have very easily looked back and said, "We're stuck. We can't go forward. We're looking back. We're slipping back into what was old." And I want to say, we need to be able to say goodbye to what is holding us back in order to say hello to something is in the future that is better. And tonight, maybe as you consider your future, as you consider 2024, maybe it's time to say goodbye to some things in your life that have become familiar. But in actual fact, those familiar things are chaining you up, are holding you still, are not allowing you to step into something that is actually better. Sometimes saying goodbye and stepping into something new requires a move of Almighty God. The great thing is we have an Almighty God who loves us and wants the best for us, who has great plans for us and is with us. And so therefore, it's not out of the realms of possibility that maybe, just maybe, your choice to say goodbye allows hello to the better in God. And let's look what happens in Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 to 16. It says this: "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" Here's the classic moment where we can say God can make a way where there seems to be no way. And I love this. You could turn around and say, "Oh no, I'm slipping back into the old familiar." But Moses declares, the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. Can I say to you, if you can make a choice in your heart today that I am saying goodbye to the old familiar that's held me for so long, I'm saying goodbye to the chains that have held me for so long, to the habits, the people, the situations that are holding me, and I'm saying hello to something good in God. And when you make that choice, Almighty God comes in and he can make a way where there seems to be no way. Can you see it? I love that line there where it says, you just need to be still. And the truth is this, you can look back at your old familiar and get sucked into it. Or you can stand still and say, I'm saying goodbye. I'm keeping peace in my heart. I am being still on the inside and I am trusting you, Almighty God. Can you see that picture? I am making my choice, goodbye to the old familiar. But I am being still on the inside in faith, believing God could do something. And then from that place, God says, what have you got in your hand? And Moses says, I've got the staff. He says, tell the people to start moving now. Raise your staff. And it's what is in your hand. God is never going to ask you to do what you can't do. Never going to ask you to use what you haven't got. He's always going to use something you have got. A skill, a relationship, whatever it might be. Some finances. And he'll say, as you raise that up and offer it to me, I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. But there's a process, a choice to not go back, to say goodbye in order to say hello to the better in God. There's a keeping a peace in your heart. And then when prompted, being willing to use what you have and take a step forward. And then God does what you can't do. Where there seemed to be no way, he made a way. I'm going to believe with you even now that doors that seem closed will start to open for you. Relationships that seem nowhere are suddenly going to present themselves to you. That you're going to have different results this year because you've said goodbye to something and you've allowed God to become your peace in the middle of it all. And as he prompts you, you will go forward. Is tonight the night you decide to say goodbye to some old familiar things that have been holding you in order to get a peace in God and say hello to the better in him, even though it feels impossible? Could you have a testimony, a miracle testimony in 2024 because you made a choice to say goodbye to the old and hello to the new in God? I hope you feel inspired. This whole idea of not looking back is a familiar theme. You know, you can look back at the Egyptians and go back there, but God says, don't look back. They're gonna exist no more. Look forward. Go forward in me. And it's the classic theme we find with Lot and his wife. Lot and his wife, they live in a place called Sodom. And Sodom, biblically, is most famous for lust and sex and debauchery and everything that the flesh desires, which actually, in the long run, harms us. And it's known for that. And God looks at this place and said, it is disgusting. It is despicable. It is spilling out. It is getting worse. And he decides it's time to put a stop to it. He has to destroy it for the sake of humanity. But he says to Lot and his wife, I'm going to get you out of there. And he sends in angels and they help them get out. And the angels say this to them in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away. It's very, very clear, isn't it? The instruction is clear. Flee now, keep going, and don't look back. Unfortunately, Lot's wife does something different. A few verses later in Genesis 19, verse 26, it says this. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. It interests me because God is destroying the place that is filled with all kinds of lusts. He said it is not good. And he says, don't look back there. And so often, how do we choose to pull away from people, from places, from situations that know cause us harm? Habits that are formed in and around these people and places, which we know ultimately harm us. And we know we're trying to pull away. And as you try and pull away, there's a little fleshy part of you, that little part of you that quite liked how it felt. Quite liked it, thought it was good. Ultimately, we know those things harm us. Those habits, those things we do and say when we're around those people and in those places, we know they harm us. But there's a sneaky little part of us that quite likes it. And I believe we see that in Lot's wife. It was a place of lust and sin and debauchery. And as she was leaving, she couldn't help herself but just have a quick look. And she was caused to turn to a pillar of stone. She couldn't move anywhere. She was stuck there forever. And I think it actually shows something of Lot's wife's heart. That God has said, I'm going to save you from that. I'm going to take you somewhere in freedom. I'm going to take you somewhere better. But there was a little part in her heart that just wanted to check it out again. And I want to say, sometimes goodbye has to mean goodbye. Because if we have a sneaky look back there, it's so easy because we're people, because we're humans, to get sucked back into those habits, sucked back into those relationships, sucked back into those places. And ultimately, in those places, we are hurting ourselves. And God is saying, there's something better for you. And goodbye sometimes has to mean goodbye. Cut yourself from it. Don't even look back. Because looking back actually shows your heart. Could we be people who don't look back at the things that harm us, but keep our eyes fixed on our Creator, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the lover of our souls, the one who says, I will guide you, my word is a lamp to your feet. Could we keep our eyes on Him rather than looking back at those things that might have been nice to our flesh, but ultimately we know they harm us? Maybe tonight is a night for someone listening right now where you decide, I'm not going back to that habit. I'm not going back to those relationships. I'm not going back to those places because I know ultimately it's hurting me. Could you be brave? Come on, I know I'm speaking in your screen right now. Could you be brave? Because it takes bravery sometimes. And here's the reality. It's a choice. Everyone has a choice. Could tonight you make a brave choice to say, I'm not looking back. Just like Lot, I'm going to move out of there. I'm not going to be like his wife who looked back and showed her heart and got stuck. But I'm going to be like Lot and his family where they move forward and get away from the things where it was causing so much pain and hurt. Could we fix our eyes on Jesus? I hope you feel challenged. So we've got this concept of not looking back. But there's another concept which is similar but also very different. And it's the concept of remembering. One thing is looking back. Another thing is remembering. Could we remember the good things God has done? The magnificent things God has done? Could we remember how he sent his son Jesus declaring his love for us? Could we remember how Jesus literally laid his life down to lift yours up? Could we remember the way he taught us to live in a way that breeds life? Could we remember the miraculous things he's done in and through our world, in and through our church, in and through our family? When we remember those things, what happens is it stops us looking back at the old and says there's going to be more in God because your faith is stirred. I've got five verses here and they're all about remembering. Just check these out. Psalm chapter 77 and verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. You know, all through the Old Testament in particular, they were encouraged, tell each other, remind each other, keep the miracles alive, because a testimony is this, do it again. If he did it before, he could do it again. Remind yourself and remember of the great things God has done in your life, because as you declare it and remember it, he's able to do it again. Remembering is good. Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not his remembering. What are his benefits? The fact that you're forgiven. The fact that you're saved. The fact that you've got an eternity in heaven. The fact that you're on a healing journey. The fact that he's positioned you with great people. The fact that he's put skills in you. The fact that he sings love over you. The fact that he calls you his treasure. You're the apple of his eye. His benefits are worth remembering. Yet so often, why do we forget? You know, we forget these great things while at the same time focusing and looking back on the things of our past that are holding us there. Could December the 31st, the crossover night, could it be the day where you say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm not looking back because I'm remembering the goodness of my God. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, remember what Jesus taught us. Because when we remember what Jesus taught us, it becomes lifestyle, it becomes action, it becomes habit. And they are habits that breed life. Remember, it's better to give than to receive. And it is so awesome, isn't it? We've just had Christmas. How did you love it when you gave that present to someone you cared about? They opened it and you saw the joy on their face. And you're like, yes, I put that joy there because I gave them something. Right there is an example of Jesus' teaching. When you give stuff to people, it blesses you as well. And there's many, many more teachings on lifestyle. Jesus taught us how to live well. Can we remember it? Because it breeds life and it breeds a better future. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, those of you who are church people will know that we take communion every month. And it's a moment to remember the blood sacrifice of Jesus, the broken body of Jesus. We remember what he did. And what it does is it brings us to a place of humility, us to a place of thankfulness, and enables us to propel forward in the goodness of God. Remembering is good. Last one, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So here we have these whole bunch of verses in the Bible about remembering. And the way I like to think about it is this. If God says one thing in the Bible, it's worth noting. If he says it multiple times, he really wants to drive it home. And here we are just sharing a few verses about remembering. God wants you to remember. More than that, he said, I've sent the Holy Spirit who wants to reside in you. You right now could say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And he will come rushing in. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is remind us of what Jesus said. He even sends his Spirit to remind us. Come on, tonight, could you remind yourself of the good things God has done? Could you remind yourself of the teachings of Jesus? Could you remind yourself of the miracles of the past? Because what it does is it allows you to look into 2024 with greater hope, with greater faith, with greater ambition, with a greater steadfastness, saying, I'm not looking back anymore at my old life that has held me there. I'm not going back to those places and those people and those relationships which I know caused me to live in a terrible way that hurts me. I'm drawing my line in the sand tonight, New Year's Eve. Tomorrow is the start of a new year and I am going to live well. But I'm also going to remember. And I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, keep reminding me. Every day, remind me of your goodness because it allows me to step forward with faith. Are you with me? Remember Jesus' teaching. Remember the breaking of the bread. Remember his miracles. I wonder, just in this moment, you know, I don't know how you play New Year's Eve, but in our house, we like to have a moment, you know, together as a family to reflect, to celebrate, to remember the good things that have happened, the difficult things that have happened, and to pray. But I want to encourage you in this moment that you get to choose. And in my notes here, I've written choose in capital letters. You get to choose. God has got good plans for you in 2024. It could be your most amazing year yet, but you've got a part to play. It's a relationship. You know, when you say, I'm drawing a line in the sand, when you say, I'm not looking back, I'm not going back to the things that have hurt me, I'm not going back to the things that have chained me. In actual fact, I'm remembering who you are. I'm remembering your power and authority. I'm remembering your teaching. And I'm using that to stir my faith so that I can step into 2024 believing that great things are going to happen for me. Believing that you're going to open doors for me, open new relationships with me, take me somewhere I could have only dreamed of. It's yours for the taking. But you have to make choices too because this is a relationship. So in the reflecting on all of this, as you'll listen to this message, I want to encourage you, challenge you, and cheer you on to make great choices, faith-based, Jesus-centered choices to step into 2024 in a way that is going to take it by the scruff of the neck and say, I'm going to make my life count. I hope that blesses you. I hope that challenges you. And let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for all you've done. Lord, we remember your goodness. We remember your teaching. We remember the miracles. We remember the things that have happened even this year that have blessed us. The times when we've said that had to be God. Lord, we choose right now to say goodbye from the old familiar things that have held us back for so long. And we choose to say hello to the good things you've got for us. Lord, I want to pray that where there are obstacles, where there are things in the way that just seem impossible, that you would prompt us as only you can to use what we've got. And as we make a step, you will make a way. And through this calendar year, I pray there will be testimony after testimony of the good things you've done, which seemed impossible to us, but all things are possible to you. So I ask, Father God, that you'd stir faith, you'd stir hope, you'd stir courage in your people in this moment, and that we could step into 2024 ready to go, ready to play our part in your big picture, and ready to celebrate your goodness. And I encourage you to say, amen, amen. Hey, I hope that blessed you. I hope you're going to spend some time with people you love and care about this evening. I hope you're going to celebrate well. But my hope and my prayer is that 2024 will be a super blessed year for you because of things that you decide, things you choose, and the part you play, allowing God to be in the middle of it all. God bless you all. Catch you soon.